The best podcast in the world.
Oh, shoot, you got the air horns. I was just about to
actually get it, man.
Somebody in the chat got on us one time. Yeah, like, I know. I was going to do the fake got air right. horns, and y'all ain't got all these soundboards, and y'all ain't
Looks
got
it. Actually horns. Has it. He just didn't do it because it was a thing, and I was like, you know what? All right.
God always holds me down, man. That's one thing about it. We getting in the rhythm, man. Vosh Lombardi, Skywalker Steel, John Machota. You gonna play Vosh?
I mean, you said all three names at once. I just,
this dude won his own. Hold on, let me say that. Hold on.
Vosh says this segment.
He asked me to hit the button. Didn't he ask me to hit the button? He said John Machota's name. He asked me to hit the hey Vosh button.
We might got to get John to drop.
Foolishness. This is kind of just who we are, bro.
Yeah, right. You know what? We're gonna get, you know how that, because that I feel like that's the what we got to get John an Eminem drop. You know, he from Detroit, got white.
Yes, you know me,
I'm my just trolling
right on. I got you.
I'm just trolling, Johnny. Hey, we are on episode, we starting over.
You on 100 and something,
okay? We're on 105. I feel like Tom will know,
we'll figure it out. Yeah, Tom, let us know.
Hey, before we get to OTAs, how y'all boys doing, man? Y'all good?
Excellent, man. Excited Everybody about this good? News and notes from OTAs, bro.
Okay, that's Sky's way of telling me, Foots, shut up and let's get to John. Here's
what's getting good at this, man. Johnny. Hey, what's getting good at this?
I'm gonna go by position group and go quickly on these, and then we can just jump into whatever topics you guys want to jump into off of this. I don't tweet out a lot of my observations. I'd save from here. Notice when I tweet them out, they get stolen on the web somehow. Ooh. These people think I don't see this stuff. Anyway.
Who stole from me?
Shots fired.
I make a lot of people a lot of money, I can tell. Anyway, ooh, all right.
Hold on. We can't let this job pop you ish, job.
Don't think I don't see what goes on out there.
Don't think
that you're the only one with the internet.
Yeah,
I got one of these phones with the internet on it too. I see what goes on.
Anyway. They work for the Cowboys, John? Like it's a media person, or it's just like somebody?
Oh, no, just people in general. People on the internet. People on the internet that just take stuff and use it as their own, you know?
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. All right. Quarterbacks. I think the biggest thing that, I mean, Dak looks like Dak. I mean, I've gone through 10 of these, really, because I'm not going to count his rookie year. I never really look at Dak like he's really that much different. I mean, even some of the questions he was asked today, I just feel like I'm having deja vu. It's like the same stuff's been asked the last 5 or 6 years. So, but the Joe Milton, Sam Howell thing, I find interesting because they're splitting reps at that backup spot. And so Brian Schottenheimer is going to sit there and say that, you know, it's this great competition and that they just wanted competition. That's why they brought on Sam Howell. I find that hard to believe. If Joe Milton had shown them enough last year, I don't think you're bringing in Sam Howell and then straight up letting them split reps in practice to find out who wins that job. And so I think Joe Milton has a higher upside. I think Sam Howell probably gives you the best chance if you had to plug him in tomorrow to win a game or this weekend. Running backs, Javonte Williams wasn't out there. So Phil Maffa, Jaden Blue were guys that I noticed working with the ones. They do a good job. Hats off to the coaches. They do a good job of setting up these practices where they put a lot of players in front. So it's difficult to get a good look at every single thing that's going on. They put a lot of trash out there for us to have to look between to try and catch things. It's very well organized.
To your point, Coach Shoddy said in his second year, practices was something and schedule was something that he was trying to improve on. So you basically kind of saying it looks like that's what he's doing.
Yeah. So it's difficult to see every single thing. So you're just trying to take bits and pieces. So nothing major there out of the running backs. Wide receivers, no George Pickens as expected. They still expect him to be there next week for mandatory minicamp. But even like Dak was saying today, when he's there or when he does show up, like don't expect him to just all of a sudden be with like the ones and doing everything. Like they don't want him to do too much. Then all of a sudden he suffers a setback or some type of an injury. And then now all of a sudden he's going into training camp with some type of an issue that it'll be. So even if he's there next week, don't expect him to be doing a ton. Like, he probably won't be in on team drills and stuff like that. Probably just do some individual stuff. Kevontae Turpin, I thought, looked pretty good today as a receiver. He continues to get a lot of work with the ones as expected. Ryan Flannoy obviously gets a lot of work. Ryan Flannoy gets a lot of work with the ones as expected. Marquez Valdes-Scantling continues to get a lot of work with the ones without George being there. CD also wasn't there today. The Scantling thing, though, I think is interesting because he has to contribute. I asked Schottenheimer today, what do you need out of that fifth, sixth receiver? And he said special teams, and Scantling doesn't really have that on his resume. So that's a part that he's going to have to add in. Mingo continues to work off to the side. And so that would probably be it out of the top wide receivers there. Nothing notable from the tight ends. Offensive line, neck surgery for Matt Hennessy, who you're looking at as potential backup center. So because of that, we saw TJ Bass get some backup center work today. Ones were, as usual, with Tyler Guyton at left tackle. Defensive line, Noah Azaraku. He's still working his way back. So when the ones were out there, it was Rashawn Gary, and it was for the outside linebackers. It was Rashawn Gary, and it was Malachi Lawrence, and they switched up a little bit from left to right. It wasn't like they just each one stayed on one side. So that makes a lot of sense to me. I think those are going to be two guys that obviously get a lot of burn this year. DeMarvion Overshown, though, being back out there, him being the guy. Him and D Winters were working with the ones. And then after practice was over, Overshown talked a lot about getting a chance to play Mike and wearing the green dot and things like that, which all sounds great, but your green dot can't be a guy on the sidelines. So if you're going to be the green dot, it's going to have to be healthy. He's going to have to be on the field. I mean, I'm not taking a shot. I'm just being honest. Like, all of it sounds great, but you have to be on the field if you're going to be that guy. So I'm saying that because I don't see them just going, oh, that's our green dot. Let's move on. Like, there has to be plenty of contingency plans. But yes, if DeMarvion Overshown stays healthy and he's out there all the time, totally makes sense. But D Winters also can worked in that role as well. See, D backs, I would say the play of the two practices we got to watch last week and this one was a Kobe Durant interception to Dak today along the right sideline. You know, maybe about a 10-yard pass, but he made like a nice diving grab on the pass. I don't know. We could not see the receiver because of all of the bodies that were in front of us, but Kobe Durant made this really nice grab and got back on his feet that if it's in a game, he probably scores on. He scored on it anyway. Brevin Spanford was trying to chase him down, but it was a really nice play from Kobe Durant, which is basically some of the stuff we saw when he was with the Rams. So, and the only other one I would say from the defensive backs, Caleb Downs, I know was getting more work at safety after we saw him mostly get nickel last week, but that's how it's going to be. He even talked about that after practice today. It's going to be a lot of both for him. It's not like he's just going to be playing nickel all season. Yes. He's not going to just be a safety. So they're trying to train him in both positions quite a bit because again, if he stays healthy, he's obviously never leaving the field either. So there's some other little things, but I just want to try and get to it as quick as possible with that stuff.
John, real fast, you typically don't like offensive linemen because you never take pictures and videos of them.
No, that's because of them. And that's every team I've ever covered. They always do offensive line on the far end of the field, and they're just awful pictures. Like, you just can't get anything. So, like, I took a picture today, I posted, and it's Cooper Beebe and Tyler Smith just walking off the field. I would always get there early when Tyron Smith, Travis, and Zach would all walk out together at training camp because it was like, we don't really get these like during the season. So that is, I will say, that is more by design. The offensive line, every NFL practice I've ever been in, the offensive line always works on the far end from where reporters are at. It's very rarely they ever work out in front of you.
You wouldn't happen to know who the center was when BB went to the sideline, do you?
I don't. The only other center I noticed, though, was Bass. That's the only other one I noticed. I mean, you look at the depth chart. I mean, Hennessy was obviously going to work in there. I mean, that's his spot, would be your backup center. Who else do I got here? Yeah, that's the only other one that I noticed today. I'm thinking maybe Trevor Keegan could do it. But I see, that's the thing I didn't understand about this, like, neck, like, disc surgery that Schottenheimer said about Hennessy. Like, he said he'll be physically unable to perform. So I don't know if that's a season ender or that's just for right now. Because if that's a season ender, you probably have to go add another center, you know, another backup center to your roster. I mean, I'm sure Bass could do it in a pinch, like during a game, but I don't know that he's the guy you want there, especially if the left tackle position falls apart and you want Tyler Smith out there. And then now all of a sudden Bass is playing left guard. Like, then who's your center there if something happens? So if Hennessy isn't back by the start of the season, I think you got to go get another body.
I feel like you got to get one for camp, you know, in general.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
If you don't have Hennessy off camp, that means Bass is probably taking reps at center and he's taking reps away from a guard or emergency tackle or whatever they may want to do with them. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not another real obvious guy out of this group.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Did you have any questions, Vasha, about the tackles? I was going to ask. Somebody asked today about, like, was Tyler, is this like a real, is this a real battle? Is this like, and he said something about they're giving him weeks at a time. Shoddy did. What are you guys' thoughts about that?
You talking about Guyton?
Guyton and,
yeah, as far as I'm concerned, as long as Tyler Guyton's healthy, he'll be playing left tackle. Guyton to me is like, and I'm not comparing these players, I'm just saying, in the situation I look at this roster, Guyton and Overshown are the same for me. If you just tell me that they're healthy, they'll be on the field. I just don't think Guyton is bad enough to where if he's playing and he's out there all the time, and more importantly, he's practicing during the week, that he won't be your left tackle. They don't want to move Tyler Smith to left tackle. And I don't know that Nate Thomas will show you enough to, you know, like the whole boxing thing where is he going to do it? I mean, he's going to have to definitely beat him out. If it's close, then they're still giving it to Tyler Guyton. He's a first round pick. So the injury thing is the one for me. Like, will he be out, be able to practice all week and then play on Sundays week after week after week? And if he is, I think that he'll end up being their left tackle.
Yeah, I said it last week. I don't think this is a real competition. I think he has to say that because there's real heat on Tyler Guyton. They want him to get better. He needs to get better. And they want him to be a stalwart left tackle, not just a guy out there. So I think that's all that is. But I don't, even more so than, you know, he's not bad enough, I don't think there's anybody on the roster good enough to beat out a Tyler Guyton. So you want him to be the guy. You actually want him to take a leap, not a step. So, yeah, it's Guyton's job to lose. If he loses it, boy, we in trouble.
Big trouble.
All right. I want to talk about the backup quarterback position. And I got a few thoughts, but I want to hear your guys' thoughts. So, Vach, I'm going to start with you.
You're.
Do you think
I know what Vosh going to say? I can tell you what Vosh going to say. I know what Vosh. Go ahead.
Hey, Fuzz, let me tell you what's going to happen.
Go ahead. Let's go.
Hey, Fuzz, let me tell you what's going to happen.
Why you started with him?
Look, I can't find my damn draft guide. Hey, we going to be watching prospects play. What you talking about? John said it, or it was Fuzz. One of y'all said it. They went to go get quarterback for a reason. They added an extra quarterback for this thing. Could have been Milton and Will Greer, but it ain't. It's Milton and Howell. Now, why would you go and acquire a quarterback with a whole bunch of starts, backup quarterback wise, right? Like, why else would you go get a quarterback with a whole bunch of starts? You know what I'm saying? Their mindset is if anything happened to Foe, I think we did get lucky last year with nothing happening to Foe. If anything happened to Foe, and it's a short period of time, you want to get a dude that can win you some ball games. But Brad Lee, Jonathan, William, if anything, big, it's draft time. So I don't give two shits about backup quarterback. Scott got it. Scott know me. I don't get my backup quarterback.
Yeah. I don't.
Okay, cool. Foot's doing something else. Please, Scott, tell me what you think about backup quarterback, please.
If we need to win a game or two, it's probably how. And if they're looking for a, you know, long-term project, it's Milton.
I like that, Scott. Right, what about now, you, John? What you think since we're so busy over there doing shit?
Y'all know a random Man, the computer almost fell, bro.
I don't know nothing about that. John, what you think about Sam Howell? Like, Shotty was like, it's going to be a week by week. Like, he going to get more this week. I imagine Milton going to go back to goal getting more next week. John, what you think about that since his foot's clear a bit?
Yeah, I mean.
That worked.
I also found it was interesting, too. I probably should have mentioned this. That so, like, when the ones were out there, Dak's in the huddle. He's calling the play. Milton is standing over the huddle. And then right before they break the huddle, then Milton goes back behind the line. So there has to be an element there where they want him to focus it on whatever he's calling in the huddle too. It's not like they were having both the quarterbacks there. This was clearly like, hey, we want Joe to be in all these huddles. Hear the way that Dak calls it, the way that Dak does it. Then you back out, stand back behind the line of scrimmage, and then they're going to run the play. So I just don't think that they're there yet with Joe being able to, you know, if Dak was to go down to be a starter and have to play for a long period of time. I do think they still like his upside a lot, and they think a lot of that. But I think they have questions, and actions speak louder.
They don't trust him.
Yeah, they wouldn't go get Sam Howell if they didn't.
This scheme is – I'm not saying this is some rocket science scheme, but there's levels to the quarterback position that I think they are expecting in the scheme that Joe is just not there yet from seeing the field, just not there.
And if you're Shotty, there's so much riding on the season for you. Like the honeymoon's over, you know, this is, you know, you got to win this year. You're the one calling the offense. If something's to happen to Dak, like forget even for a game, let's just say he goes out for a series or something. You're going to want somebody that you can absolutely trust to relay the play, run the offense exactly how you want it. Maybe not be the guy that makes the big arm throw and makes the big play like a Joe Milton, but somebody that can get you in and out and just distribute the ball, not turn the ball over, and the team up and down the field. And I think that as of right now, that's probably how, but it'll come down to what happens in the preseason. I think we'll get a good idea between that and then those two practices with the Saints and Rams. I think we'll know a lot more off of there, because that's the question I'll ask you guys is, like, where are you on the, if Milton looks better and he's in the preseason in those practices having the big boom plays, but maybe he also has some turnovers where, like, Howell is just like kind of basic. It's not really that exciting. I mean, do you care one way or the other?
Go ahead, Sky.
I said what I've been saying for a lot of different players. And I said this exact same thing with Milton last year, John, if you guys remember. It's about the singles and doubles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't really care about the home run stuff because, quite frankly, he hasn't even hit that. So you got to show us that you can hit the singles and doubles in order for me to have trust or them to have trust. And
but I'll just tell you real quick, like today, when a play breaks down, he'll chuck that bitch 50.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not seeing that from, like, you generally don't. I mean, now I will say,
but you,
like,
ain't doing that in a game, though.
He will. I'm not saying it's going to be completed, but I mean, he will throw that up there. They probably don't love that or anything, but he does make those practices entertaining for us. I will tell you that, because if there's nothing there, you know, he will just throw it up and
fun practice.
It's a wild ride, but I'm just saying, like, he can just flick that thing 50 yards, you know, like that's not even a thing. So I'm just saying, if he's completing some of those, which he did last year, he had that one nice deep ball, I think was to Flannoy against the Rams. You know, where you're like, if he's hitting a bunch of those, I'm telling you, the Oxnard hype will be going if there's a bunch of videos.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot of hype, but you got to see through the hype and put on the tape of the preseason games. Is he doing the basic things? If you're not ever going to be a quality starting quarterback without doing that, it's impossible.
My thing with him, though, is that he did that, though, in that one game he played for the Patriots against the Bills.
Yeah, against the Bills.
You watch that, he did a little bit of everything. That's why I will never be one of those people that go, what idiots, why would they give up what they gave up to go get him? No. I'm like, nah, I don't know. There was some stuff there.
Tools there.
Absolutely.
But he has to put it together.
To add to Sky's point, I think I just want to see him make the layups, John. But
yeah,
I was excited last year, but I've kind of tempered it back because he just do some stuff. You're like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you can't do that. Like, but the thing is, he also do some stuff like, that tracks, like that's pretty cool. So I just think if you can just make a layup, to answer your question, John, if he can make a layup, feel great. But it's the thing is, like, can he do that? Like, you know, it's we watching the playoffs now, bro. So many guys, man, they get to the basket, just can't finish. It's like,
yeah.
So, you know, hopefully he can be that. Because if he can, if something goes, and then we'll know. Like, you guys will know. You'll know, like, he just can't move. And I do think that Hal, with these weapons, can. Like, it's not going to be pretty. He's not going to be Dak, but he'll distribute the ball, make good you know, the funny thing is, he has a lot of turnovers, too, in the league. Hal does.
Yeah, Hal's a 30-30 type of dude, bro.
He has a lot of interceptions, too. So, like Vosh said, if you lose Dak for 4 or 5 games, you watching prospects, Vosh.
What was his sporting cast?
That's funny. How did Vosh get the blue suit? And he gave me with the camo.
Yo, that joint is hilarious. I think that's Hawk the Bodyguard, but I could be wrong.
Is that on Twitter?
Big J on Twitter dropped.
Tweet that, bro. That's hard.
He did tweet it. I'm about to repost it.
That's all right, yeah, man. This is funny, yo, man. We got the best supporters, bro.
We do.
I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. They be doing some crazy
this
stuff.
Is that's hard.
Yeah,
that is hard, bro. Hey, Scott with the immediate.
Yeah, put that joke up there right away.
That ain't funny. Be your own people, man. There's always somebody.
Oh, hold on. Wait. Can we please, Sky, pull up the picture of Quentin Vosh Way?
I'll make one side by side. Shouts out to John for getting the photo. And then I'll put
it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the D lineman practice on the far side of the field. So before you show it, everyone that's listening, this is what I got to come away with when I want to get shots of the defensive lineman.
Oh, man. It just be your own people.
John, Sky definitely a sneaky shooter. Don't worry about it, Vosh. Hey, while he's doing that, John, you said Turpin looks pretty cool, right? But I want to ask you in chat, feel free to Scantling. We're now starting to hear his name a lot.
Who foots?
Scantling. I'm not saying his 10 names. He got his I'm just calling names. Him
MBS.
Marquez. Good name, Marquez.
I thought it was Marquez Valdez or whatever.
Yeah, it is.
That's what it is. He just got one more name. Call him Marquez.
Carl Anthony Towns.
And you know he got the same theory. What do you think about him, John? He looks like a speed guy. That's what he's done. Just the drops. He's had some big drops in moments.
No hands.
Yeah,
I know.
I think it's more if he's just a veteran and they don't have Pickens.
Okay.
As of right now, I would predict they keep 5, and I just don't think he'd be their 5th. I just don't think he's going to bring enough on special teams, you know? So I guess if he tore it up in, you know, the preseason or something like that, or in some of those practices, I guess maybe that would change the way I feel. But
didn't Shadi say he had a conversation with him about he's going to have to do special teams?
Yeah, be a gunner, yeah. And he's open to doing it, obviously, because he wants to stay in the league. But wanting and opening, being open to do it are obviously two different things.
You're going to have to be better than Flo.
Yeah,
look, cannon on that. Yeah.
Flow wide receiver 3, and he's still down to go do it. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah. Oh, Caleb was getting some work on special teams today.
I heard.
Punt returning.
What did Mary wear, man?
Vector.
Hey, Scott.
What wide receiver 4 and 5 that's on the roster right now qualify to play teams? Like who would that be?
Turp.
Mingo.
We'll see. Mingo definitely has done it a bunch.
Trayshawn Holden tackling.
Trayshawn Holden might not make the roster. That's a good one. But Holden's going to have to. He did it in preseason last year, but he, you know.
I would think with them investing that pick in Anthony Smith, they would probably feel like he can do some of that, you know?
A returner. Boy, a little stringy to be a tackler, but.
he run a little bit.
Oh, yeah. He could return.
His body around still. Try.
I got a feeling, and we can bookmark this. I got a feeling they're gonna tap him on the shoulder and be like, yo.
Damn, man, look at your pinky finger, bro.
Yeah, your pinky toe ain't doing too good, is it? Nah, coach, good. Nah, I think something wrong with that, man. I feel like they're gonna do that to Anthony Smith because there may be a situation happening with another receiver. You know, they might give Flo some bread, and you're gonna need another guy to step up. He's a draft pick. I could see that happen.
Peyton Turner still working?
Bigger too. Yeah, get bigger too. Nah, Peyton Turner.
You don't work at them all? Okay.
I think he's in Detroit, actually.
I wanted to switch gears. I don't get tired of talking about Caleb Downs. John said he's doing safety stuff. Sky, I thought about you when he said that. How you feeling about giving him a lot early?
Let me jump in on this one real quick. I was debating on if I was even going to say this or not, but I'm just going to say it. All right, because you bring up Caleb. So, like, this is just my own observation, all right? And there's a lot of standing around watching these practices. There's a lot of boring time. So I was talking to another reporter about this today. And this other reporter agreed with me, but I don't know if he wants me to say his name on air, so I'm not going to say it. But, like, they do a lot of that same stuff as last year with the – I'm not saying that they're throwing around dollar bills and doing all that bullshit, but, like, a lot of that rah-rah pre-practice stuff. Yeah, yeah. Okay, nobody has said anything. This is just my eyeballs, okay? That does not seem like anything that Caleb Downs and Christian Parker are interested in. Like, they are so business. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just don't seem like they really care for all that. Like, they'll participate or whatever because they're whatever. But they're just like, I don't know, man. Like, they just seem like they're on a different, like, wavelength with that. Like, they just seem very business-like. Like, yeah, no, we're good, man. We're not.
He was probably didn't like it either, though, right, John?
He did. You're right. Yeah. Hey, that's funny. That's a good way. That was brought up in our conversation. They were watching practice. I was like, he did not really participate in that either. But it was just, you can just tell by the way they carry themselves. They're both very businesslike. They're not really.
I got a theory about that.
Yeah.
About what?
About what John just said about.
But I think it's a good thing too, because you want to turn around an awful defense. I think you want
him not people that kind of stuff.
Like, I mean, if you look at this team right now and you say, okay, who are going to be their top, whatever, 3, 4, 5, 6 key defensive pieces. Like, you really don't want them to be guys that are anything but businesslike. And it seems like that they are. Because when I think of it, I think of, like, Quinnen Williams, Caleb, obviously Christian Parker, probably Rashawn Gary. I know Jayshon Barwin.
I don't think any players were like that last year. I don't think you want your defensive players to be like that. The coaches, though, it's strange, man. Football, to me, I just don't associate coaches with that kind of happy-go-lucky – we're doing kumbaya, dancing around in circles. That was strange last year. It was different, so whatever, we accepted it. But I didn't grow up with football like that, so that was weird. And defensively, I better not see my coach over there doing cartwheels and shit. Get him up out of here. Come on, bro.
All my coaches was over. Coaches was overweight.
Like, go ahead, dog.
They was walking to the field, and you was doing Oklahomas to start practice. That's how you was getting your blood flowing.
That's true, because I would think of, okay, so out of the last six, there have been six. This is six DCs now since Dak took over. So I would say the closest to being cool with that stuff and wanting to really participate would be Dan Quinn.
Thank you.
Because that's not really Rob Marinelli style.
No,
definitely not Mike Zimmer.
It was them young coaches, man. It was them.
I think
Shoddy may be just trying to get the energy up, but my theory was going to be
he took the Pete Carroll mantra and went overboard. Like, he was in college, you know, and he probably got data in a little bit.
100%, because you know what? There's no way Marty was doing that stuff.
Hell no.
You know? So it definitely is the Pete Carroll thing for sure.
Your face. My theory, Scott, to answer your question was going to be, bro, Caleb probably ain't into it like John said, because Caleb probably like, bro, I got to make sure I'm locked in on my assignment. And like, his energy going to be his communication, which I've heard he's already been doing a great job with that. Like, so he probably going to be the one doing the dancing and all that stuff. He trying to fit the running, knock somebody's face mask off. But John, it's interesting though, back to it about him playing actual safety and not just nickel. How did he look moving around back there?
Yeah, good, man. It looked like the Ohio State guy, you know, same guy that the last time I saw him play in person that at the AT&T Stadium when they played against Miami, you know, he was all over the place. So yeah, the thing for me with him is like, like we had this debate, some other reporters during practice today, like one guy was saying that he thinks like, all the defensive starters should at least play in one of the preseason games for like a series or two. Like, I really don't care about that. Like, I really don't. I'm not a big preseason guy. So I know that they'll probably play Caleb a little bit, but like, I don't know. He just seems like he's wise beyond his years. I think I'll see enough out of him from those practices in training camp that I don't need to really I don't really need to see all that. I don't need to see anybody suffering a setback, you know. He's just too important. So
yeah.
You want to hit this Reed Foots? Because I feel like we bury you something here that I really want to get your guys' opinions on here.
let's let Votch hide. Even though, never mind. Let me not be petty. Votch, you know what I'm gonna start doing seven. What game you about to look at?
Yeah, like he can't hear the game. What game?
Crimson Desert. Have y'all heard?
I told you some shit like that, man.
What is that all about?
Now, what's actually tell us? Yeah, what is it about, Votch?
You're a dude. In this this world,
it doesn't matter. I was just
damn.
You did it. Look, now, now they can't say Foots be cutting people off. Sky been messy, Sky today.
Damn.
Hey man, Foots was the really big the other week. I had to give Votch at least one time.
Hey, I'd like to learn about the gaming world.
Oh my bad, my bad. John actually wants to know about.
Yeah, I want to know. Like, is this like a
Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yeah, where you have like a machine gun. Well,
you know what, John? I don't want to hear nothing Votch talking about because he don't got the dog on camera today. I don't want to see him. Where's my girl at, man?
I'm scared that if I say so, Scott will hit that button again.
My hands.
I see Scott reaching.
Rolly, if you can hear us, come over here.
Rolly, yeah, we don't want to see Votch. Get Rolly. Yes, bro. I want to see you in your blue suit from South Park.
That blue suit looks good.
Trust me, Votch the bed today, y'all. I got one later. I got one.
Look how big she got, man. That's a beautiful dog, bro. Come on, that is a beautiful dog.
Why can't they just stay that size?
She's gonna get big as hell. It's gonna upset the hell out of me. She got this suede. Got a new suede collar on because her neck getting big. I gotta be able to grab her like this when she acting up. That big girl. Look at the can. Look at the people.
Roly poly. Look at her eyes, man.
I'm gonna say that every time I see her.
Gray eyes or blue eyes, Votch?
They are blue, but they probably gonna end up some sort of gray. You know what I'm saying? She Russian.
All right. Let's talk about these playoff games.
Hey man.
Hey, let's do this. I'll remove myself.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't put three up here. Hello, Foot.
See what we got here.
I see a blank screen, bro. Shout out to Prize Picks, man. Make sure to go over, play five, get $50 instantly by using the promo code HMA. Game three just wrapped up in the NBA Finals. Game four is coming up. I hit my Wimby pick the other day. I don't know. Foot, we're talking about this. We said this behind the scenes. Spurs, Knicks. It looked like the Spurs is down, but they was up double digits. Every game this series, I can see them tying this thing up and making this a pretty deep series. If you want to play, head on over to Prize Picks. You can go over there and play on NBA Finals, or you can do the NFL season picks, which we've been kind of going back and forth on. So you got a couple of foots that you want to toss to us.
You guys do NBA too on here?
Yes.
Yeah. NBA is pretty cool. I know for me, to your point, still, this series has been good. Watching yesterday, the Spurs may make it something.
They've been up double digits every game. It's a young team, so you know.
And Brunson can be really good, and then he could be really like, you know, they kind of found something with him defensively. Castle's good
for
him.
You know what I like about Wimby, bro?
He's good, bro.
Is that Wimby not afraid to get dirty?
No. Hold on, Sky. He should have got kicked out of the game for that, bro. No, he should not. Yes, bro. He can't do that, Sky.
Tee him up. Just tee him up.
He should have been beat up. I wouldn't have kicked
him. Yeah, you tee him up. You don't kick him up.
But he laughed about it, too.
Because you're 4'11". Try come. I'm doing you.
He mushed him like he was a little baby. That was funny.
Oh, this series is
It is pretty wild that you would miss that call, though.
Oh,
how about missing 7'4"
right at the top of the key?
Yeah,
but in all seriousness, looking at these plays, I was talking to somebody about Ashton Jeanty, and I thought to myself, man, I think again behind a good offensive line, he's going to be fine. Now I don't know when the Raiders are going to have a good offensive line, but
spent a lot on that center.
Yeah, they did. But I think that I think that he I think I would go over there. Dak Prescott, we talked about that, Scott. That's a lock if he's healthy.
A lock.
Yeah, that's a lock. Puka, I think that's a lock as well.
What's Robinson? Scroll down again.
Let me see if I can.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to Cowboys. So, hey, 572 people in here, man. We rolling, y'all. Shout out to y'all, man. Yeah, man. Shout out to y'all, bro. Shout out to the chat just for showing love.
You put rolling on the camera. That's what happens.
That's what happens when you put rolling on. Dog lovers come out. Let me ask y'all a few questions about OTAs. Kobe Durant, ladies and gentlemen. I've had a theory. Sky, I've had a theory. I'm going to talk to you about this. Kobe Durant will be your saving grace in this secondary. Ooh. Sky says what to that?
I like it. I think right now he's we talked about this last week, the most trustworthy corner in that room. I have no idea. I would love to know what the NFL thought about Kobe Durant. That I'm just a regular fan, but just what I saw, I was impressed and thought he could at least warrant a 2-year contract somewhere. But I'll take him here in Dallas for a year to prove it, because that means he has incentive. But you just don't get 6 interceptions, 3 in the playoffs, right? 3 in the and they were some damn good interceptions, you know. And he has the skills, the coverage ability, the willingness to tackle. I'm not saying he's the best tackler. That quick click trigger. I just think he fits the scheme a lot too. The temperament, he comes from a championship level type of organization. I don't know why this guy went for 1 year, what, $5 million or something like that. But I'd say yes, I can see him being the saving grace at corner for sure.
John, what about you?
I don't know. Saving grace seems kind of strong. I think you still need something out of at least one out of Bland or Revel. And I thought it was interesting today. Schottenheimer was saying that what they're doing with Revel is like they know he can play as a press man corner, but he has to work on everything else because they don't want him to do just that in this defense. And so he's still got some work to do there. And then obviously Bland with the foot, you know, is that going to be healthy? I just don't think that you can count on just Kobe Durant himself. And then obvious upgraded safety room to think that you're going to be all the way better. You need at least another 2 or 3 other corners that are pretty good. And I don't know, this probably shouldn't matter, but it's just in the back of my mind is like the Rams, like why would they move on? And obviously they invested significantly at corner. So I don't know. That's one of the best run teams in the league. So there's a little bit of thought of, okay, well, why didn't they want to at least bring him back on a 1-year deal, you know? Or maybe he didn't want to because of the fact that they were bringing other guys in. I don't know, but you know, like Sky said, he's the one that you can count on the most right now. You feel the best about just because he's coming from playing a pretty good season. He's a veteran guy, and you don't really know a ton about the other guys.
When you said saving grace, I took it as like not necessarily he's Darrell Revis in regards to just need him, and that's it. Even though he had Antonio Cromartie, but I took it as, there's going to be a lot of movement, right? Bland could be injured. Revel's still working his way back. We don't know about the other young guys. Can he kind of hold down the fort as these things are happening around him? That's what I say. But if it's just going to be, oh, Durant's your only guy? No, he's not saving that. No.
They think Kalen Carson could make a jump. You guys buying into that?
I hope so. I like what I saw coming out. And then rookie year happened and he had a couple moments last year, but he got to fight. I'm cool with that.
I should have set that up a little bit better. That's on me, John. When I meant saving grace, I mean you need Durant. You need
Bland and Revel
to be your guys. But what I'm saying is saving grace is saving you when one of them or something doesn't go right. That's like literally saving the situation, if because he can play inside, he can play outside. If somebody's not getting, if somebody's not coming along, if there's an injury. That's what I meant by that.
So, all right. Well, then how do you guys feel if I tell you that the bulk of the corner reps this year are spent by Deron Bland, Durant, and Caleb Downs?
What the hell? What happened to Revel?
what the shit happened to him?
He's not playing at a high level, we'll say, if that happens.
Oh, brother.
Like he ends up being your number 4 guy.
Oh, man. I don't even. Yeah.
It's a good question to ask because you have to go.
I mean, you can put Revel in and take out Bland and say, okay, and what if that's it? They're all playing
solid. That's the one that I've played in my mind, actually, John, to be honest with you. And it's not because of Bland's play, it's his injuries.
Right.
I'm cool with whatever rotation you want it to be, as long as it long as it's because those guys are playing at a high level. So somebody's outplaying another person, not because the guy is bad. Yeah. If the guy is bad, the Rebel is bad. If Bland is bad, I can't look at it as a positive situation, because you need Rebel and Bland. You need them. It just is what it is. And if there's going to be a guy that has to kind of take a back seat, it's probably the guy you're least invested in. And I love Durant. I do. But I want Bland to get back to the Pro Bowl level. I want Revel to play to that first round talent that he is. So,
and that could happen. I was just giving a hypothetical situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, it's one of those things is like, when I'm saying saving grace, that's what I mean. So now somebody else who is going to make our safety room feel a whole lot better is PJ Locke, and he just keeps getting rave reviews, right? So where are we at with PJ Locke as far as like not just the leader, but also like, hey man, this guy could possibly be out there and play a certain way, because Shoddy came back and said like, hey, this guy, he's doing such a good job as a leader that, you know, I'm telling him to talk to the other coaches. I mean, talk to the players. So like, it's starting to feel like Shoddy likes PJ Locke a lot. But the play, we got to see the play. But I like what you said, Sky, locked in. That was dope. I want to keep eyes on this PJ Locke situation.
Yeah, I'm hearing him and Caleb Downs kind of having a nice little connection. He's showing him the ropes a little bit as the veteran. He knows some of this scheme, right? He knows Christian Parker. I think he was there when he came in the league. I think he can push Hooker. I think that's what it's about. Let him push Hooker. And if he wins, again, competition went out. Let the best man win.
Botch, where you at on PJ Locke?
Man, I haven't seen enough of PJ Locke to positively have a thought about him or to think negatively of him. I think what we ultimately end up thinking about a lot of these guys is how Christian Parker used them. You know what I'm saying? Like how they kind of fit in the defense. Like D Winters may not be a star, but if he does his job damn good in this defense, then cool, bet. But besides that, like, hey man, it ain't like D Winters is like a you know, one of the top tier linebackers that was out there in free agency was looking for. It's not like Gary isn't Max or nothing like that. And Kobe Durant ain't Revis, like, you know what I'm saying, Will said earlier. It's just that, man, if Christian Parker is who everybody projects Christian Parker to be, and we're going to go out there and it's going to be chess and it's going to be calculus, all you got to do is do what Christian Parker tell you to do. You know what I'm saying? So Kobe Durant ain't really got to be a lockdown guy. PJ Locke ain't got to have the best range in the world. If Christian Parker want Kobe Durant to line up at slot, bail out to deep third, but fake back in the robber or some goofy shit, if he has the mental capacity to do that, then PJ Locke will be cool. I just don't have the message yet. And that's the whole thing about this whole like new coach thing, is we don't know nothing.
Right.
We can't project. We can't even be like, oh, he going to do Fangio shit, because he'll come out and look John in the face and be like, hey, this ain't Fangio defense. Mm-hmm. This ain't Vance and them defense. This ain't Elko. This is mine. And we don't know what mine is just yet. So I'm trying to give you content because it's off season, but man, that's why you look at me like that, because we don't know nothing about PJ Locke. We don't know nothing about.
I mean, you can speak on the player what he was in Denver. That's about all you can, and that's kind of what I'm doing. What I saw in Denver, I'm like, I think he can push Malik. I don't think Malik is just he's just ridiculously better than a PJ Locke at this stage in their career, based off what I saw on film. Now, you want to talk about fit and scheme. Again, he knows this coach. He knows aspects of this scheme, but we do not know what this scheme is going to look like. That's why it's hard to really project outside of Caleb Downs to me, that we know Caleb going to be moved around everywhere. It's really hard to know exactly how these guys are going to play it.
They're also kind of in a good situation too, because the bar is so low. I mean, the bar is what we saw from like
that's real.
Kenneth Murray and Kyrie Elam, and you know, a lot of big plays from Russell Wilson where you got DBs looking at each other like, I thought you were going to go there. I thought you had that. So if you're just solid, even if you're giving up some plays here or there and you're just a solid defense, it'll look 1,000 times better. People will be thrilled with that. It doesn't have to be a top 10, top 15 defense. If it just looks like everybody knows what they're doing and they're not just giving up monster plays and They're getting off the field, even if they're not getting a ton of takeaways, as long as they're doing their job and everyone's communicating, it looks like, hey, this is a well-run organization here. This looks great. I think people will be thrilled with that. I know I would be.
Two players, John. PJ Locke, D Winners, who came from defenses that had a clue of what they were doing on the football field. Not saying that they're great players, but to your point, PJ Locke, for example, might be the best thing that's going to happen to Caleb Downs, right? Because like Scott, they're spending time together. That's awesome because PJ Locke comes from a defense who, let's be honest, is similar to the defense that we're going to run. I know it's not the same. It's not his stuff, but at least he can say, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, this is what it's going to look like when you're getting this. Just being honest. And then with D Winners, my whole thought is, and I actually want to talk about him because it's been reported that he had a good day today. And that he's moving around well. D Winners will never be Dre Greenlaw or he'll never be. But he came from a defense and with in a linebacker room where he watched these guys work every day. He watched these guys make plays. Do you think he could bring some at least what he saw from them to this room as far as like and just to the defense in general to say, man, y'all, we got to practice hard. We got to do this. We got to do that. It ain't looking right today. It's, you know, because I think maybe possibly he can.
You talking about like a leadership thing?
Leadership, play style. Leadership, play style.
Scott said, no way just watching Fred going to make you a better player.
Nah, but I said that, though.
No, he didn't say
it. Yeah, I said that.
Because what you said to close out sound like more like leadership or whatever.
Just you got to think the bar's not high like John says.
I think he's skilled. I think he has traits to be just a good player. I mean, I didn't see a bad player last year. So,
Fuzz, you think on the 49ers panel show, they like, hey man, Osa was watching Quentin for a little while. Maybe he can come out here. And-
well, you got it. Well, hold on, time out. Since you try and make a joke about it,
I'm being serious.
Our defense wasn't good. Their defense was way better than ours. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, hold on. Who's closer here? Is Osa closer to Quentin Williams or D Winners to Fred Warner?
Probably
or Dre Greenlaw, either one.
I think D's closer to Dre. I almost said something there. I said, I don't think it's far-fetched to think that he can eventually be Dre.
Be nice.
I think Dre was the Dre in San Francisco next to who? Fred Warner. And then when Winners was next to Fred Warner, Winners was balling.
Winners was nice.
They ain't missing no damn Dre Greenlaw.
I'm going to push back a little bit.
Go look at Dre Greenlaw's film when he left.
Nah, yeah, it wasn't great. That's for sure.
It wasn't the same guy. I'm not saying it was terrible.
No. Then I mean, and to be fair, to your point, Scott, Shanahan was like he definitely didn't want to get rid of.
Lynch said, "Yeah, they didn't want to do it. They needed
DT. I'm liking that the fact that we got at least two guys in the room who in the defense room period who like y'all. This is what a good defense looks like. Now, if y'all want to BS, because you need players to hold these guys accountable. Now, I don't know if Kenneth Murray was ever on a good defense, but when he got here, you don't want to listen to him. You don't want to listen to some of the other guys, but at least you say, hey, listen, y'all, I played with Sunset. This is what it needs to look like. Now, I don't know how Vosh got Osa and Quentin Williams out of that, but man, he took it somewhere else.
He'll find a way.
I think that Osa and D Winners draw a lot of parallels. You know what I'm saying? I just think that 49ers fans aren't simply just looking at a player where one came from him being under a top tier elite player that it just rubs off on Osa. You know what I'm saying? Like you was alluding to the idea that maybe D Winners being around Fred, maybe he could bring some of that to us. And when Scott said like leadership, leadership is something that can translate just by being around. But I don't think you're talking.
I'm thinking practice habits though too, Vosh. Practice habits, how they.
I think you just made that up. I think you was talking about running around tackling people, and I don't think D.
So yeah. You're talking about the intangibles, Foots.
Intangibles, sure.
I think there is something to that. If you can bring in a gang of them dudes, and they have, and I talked about this before. You know, these guys doing that. If you go look at the bottom barrel free agents that they've brought in over the years, it's not usually championship caliber guys that played a significant role. in these type of situations. Now, obviously, D Winters, I don't think he played in this. Do I, you know, I think D might have been in that Super Bowl team. Yeah, he was on the Super Bowl team. I don't know if he participated in, but I believe he was in that Super Bowl team. They lost to the Niners, right? We just talked about Durant. Durant, that's a Super Bowl organization. They may have not won it during his tenure. I'm not quite sure. He might have came in after, but that's a championship organization with a championship head coach, right? Yeah. So I think there is something to that. PJ Locke. We know Sean Payton's a championship Super Bowl head coach. They've just played in the AFC Championship. There is something to bring a gang of them dudes because that's how you change the inner workings of the culture. Not necessarily the organizational culture, but the locker rooms, field culture. You have to bring in those guys that, you know, it's not with the ish and not infested by the Dallas Cowboys culture because we know how that looks, right? So, yeah, there's something to that for sure. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Hey, John, Malachi Lawrence.
Okay. I was just wondering, I was looking back at last year's free agency additions. So you guys feel better about these than Peyton Turner, Jack Sanborn, Kyrie Elam, Kenneth Murray.
To be fair, I was never a fan of any of those gentlemen when the Cowboys signed them.
There were some positive talk about Sanborn. I think people were pretty excited about him at that
time. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll raise my hand on Sanborn.
Yeah. I thought Sanborn, at least in this scheme with his guy, was going to be serviceable. And he might have ended up being, but he got hurt way too early to get his feet up under him because he had them Timberland boots on. He was running out there with them.
How does that compare to the 2020 Don Terry Poe?
2020 was better. It worked out, but it was better.
Gerald McCoy.
It didn't work out. I was mad about that, Tari Poe.
Gerald McCoy. Not Alden Smith. Alden Smith, right? Or was that?
Don Terry Poe.
Mr. Griffin character. Everson Griffin. Yeah, that wasn't a terrible haul in the sense of names and older guys. But
there was a defensive back from the Raiders, too, like a veteran. Oh, my God, I can't think of his name.
I know who it was. Nolan Carroll.
There you go.
Nolan Carroll, Darrell Worley.
That was an Eagles guy, though.
Yeah, but
Darrell like Worley, Worley was the one, though.
That there
was
you go. That's
Worley. Yeah, yeah. What a name, bro.
Yeah.
Good that guy.
Yeah, we had Darrell Worley on the show. And I thought he was going, man, that he got cut.
Quarterback two been a problem for a long time up here, man.
Cornerback two. We thought it was fine. We didn't get a chance to see the prime Diggs and prime Bland. We never got a chance to see it.
Diggs, Bland, and Gilly was going to be special.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So, Gilly,
what about Nashawn Wright? He was in that mix.
Who?
Nashawn Wright.
Nashawn had a really good year where he caught some passes at while being targeted. I don't think Nashawn finna go back out and go crazy.
You talking about with the Bears?
With whoever he played for now.
He played for the Bears.
Yeah, he had a good season this year.
Yeah, I kind of would watch. I want to see it.
Do it again.
Yeah, but hey,
I'm surprised. Hold on.
I don't cover a good defense. So my bar is super low. If you just show me the back of the football card, give me anybody.
But you know what, John?
He didn't do nothing.
To your point, like Kobe Durant over Elam, man, sign me up, bro. Like, you know what I mean? He's made plays in actual games, meaningful games. And to your point, John, I know you were saying, like, well, why wouldn't the Rams want to move on? Hey, cool. Great for y'all, Rams. I will take that. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's just me. You know what I mean?
Like, but also, we don't know, like John also said, was maybe he didn't want to go back to the Rams.
they were obviously trying to swing big at corner. They put big-time investment in their corner spot.
Yeah. They wanted to get better.
Yeah, CD did. They're going to dirty, but
defensive end room, too. So.
Man, yeah, it would have been real scary if they would have drafted one of them defensive ends that were sitting there right there for him instead of that quarterback. But hey, what do I know?
Or Bane.
Worked out well for him, I'd say.
Can you imagine that Reuben Bain with them instead of
Bane and
Ty Simpson? Any of them. I mean,
they got Miles Garrett.
It can't get better?
I got Miles Garrett, Byron Young, like? Fisk.
What do you think Mazidor or Bane look like opposite of Miles Garrett?
Bane for sure. Mazidor, I'm
a
cool.
A lot better than what Ty Simpson's going to do.
But let me tell you their thinking. I actually understand. If they knew this was coming down the pike, get your quarterback, bro, because you're not getting in that top five anytime soon.
That's actually a good point. That's a good point, Scott.
Get your quarterback. Now,
I think Bane is a much better player than Ty Simpson. I don't think
I don't think that's guy's argument.
No, of course.
What I'm saying is
if Bane better than Myles Garrett on his worst day.
What I'm saying, Flitz, is if Vach personally, if I thought that the quarterback that was available could be the future, then yeah, it's worth it. I just don't like Ty Simpson in that way. So I would have rather have taken Bane.
But I hate when the Rams.
Right. What I'm saying is I hate when teams use quarterback tax and they draft people in the first round just because they like Kenny Pickett, for example. Like, I was real mad that year because Pittsburgh kind of drafted him because, oh, it's a quarterback. It's the first round. Right, but he ain't nice. You know what I'm saying? I just personally don't think Ty Simpson is nice. So if Ty Simpson ain't nice, just give me Reuben Bane, who I know is nice.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, speaking of quarterback tax, you're not alone on that. I would say probably 25 teams in the NFL agree with you, because if they didn't, they would have traded up in the top 10 and taken him. That's what happens at quarterback. He wouldn't have even fallen to where he's at if there were a lot of teams in the league. They're like, no, this is a franchise guy eventually. Like, you just have to give him a couple of years, but then he'll be ready to go. That guy doesn't make it out of the top 10.
I mean, it happens. We've seen it happen, so let's not act like it does not happen.
I think my issue is more of where they're, especially after the Myles Garrett move, Matthew Stafford, like, it's the win now thing. So go get a guy that helps you to win right now that you can have opposite of Myles Garrett.
Do you not know who Byron Young is, bro?
Byron Young's a guy.
He had 12 sacks last year, and he's been good since he came in the league. And that was – people keep talking about Jared Verse. He was actually your better pass rusher. So I don't think they – I get wanting to get Bane. Bane is –
Nobody was asking for Byron Young. That deal doesn't get done.
I'm not – but see, Jared Verse is more than just a pass rusher. Also,
absolutely.
Yeah, and he's
– I'm saying the Ty Simpson thing is just – give me any
of those. I would have not taken Ty Simpson. I'm saying I get their thinking if they knew that the Myles Garrett thing was coming down the pipe.
Here's the thing about Ty Simpson. You don't want to have to draft a quarterback when you need one. Let's be honest. Like, that's when you start reaching
top five. Anytime.
Yeah, so I see what Scott's saying. Like, when you – I mean, now, to be honest
– Well, you can go ahead and timestamp this. When Stafford's time's done, their time's done. What were they? They were not winning the Super Bowl before Matthew Stafford. They ain't winning one with Ty Simpson. Sorry.
Yeah,
he's a poor man's Goff, and they couldn't get it done with Goff. So poor man's Goff. Goff is a 1-1. Ty Simpson is never a 1-1.
John, here's the problem. If they get there
with Ty, or if they get to the playoffs with Ty, or if they make any of that, that's not getting you in the top 10, top 5 range to get a Q. So that's all I'm saying. I would have not taken no damn Ty Simpson.
Why do you have to get in the top 5? That team says F them picks. They go get Matthew Stafford without doing that. Go do that again.
Or, yeah, maybe.
Do you think Ty Simpson's going to get that? That's going to be your trade bait? Okay.
Not me personally, but we'll see.
We'll give you a 1 plus Ty Simpson. We don't want Ty Simpson. What else are you going to get?
I saw Josh Rosen go for us, too. So
I literally just thought of Josh Rosen when we started this topic. I'm not even kidding. That's who I thought of.
That boy was a bag.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, John, speaking of ends, real quick, give us a Malachi Lawrence update. I'm hearing that he beat Tyler Guyton. That he's looking good, running around. He's playing some OLB. Like, how does he move, John? Because bigger guy. But outside backer, which is it's an end. But what do you think about him?
Yeah, I mean, he looked quick. The thing is, though, I mean, without pads on, like, you really can't get hands on guys like you probably would want to. But no, he looks quick. There's no question about that. You know, if Ezeraku's healthy, though, I still think it's Gary
and Ezeraku
as their two. Where you bring in Malachi as kind of that designated pass rusher. But yeah, no, he looked quick, but. I mean, the one I always go back to with pass rushers is from what we got to see from rookie minicamp and OTAs during Micah's rookie year. Like, you saw some flashes, but you really didn't know it was going to be what he ended up turning into, like, on Sundays. So, I mean, he had flashes. There's, like, a video that we've talked about before of DeMarcus Lawrence that where he's mic'd up. And he's like, damn, Rook, I didn't know you could rush the passer like that to Micah Parsons. But so there's, like, I mean, he definitely looks the part. You know, that's the thing about Ezeraku. Ezeraku, like that picture I tweeted out last week where, like, he's next to Barham and you're just like, damn, like, Jayshon is, you know, bigger than Ezeraku. Like, Malachi Lawrence is, like, long. Like, he looks absolutely like what you would, you know, you would think, like, a first-round defensive end looks like. And, yeah, he looked quick. But, like I said, once the pads come on, that'll be the that'll be the real tell, you know. But obviously they have high hopes for him. They wouldn't have taken him in the first round if they didn't.
I think Absolutely. That's significant to see him be the – because I asked this question with Tua. Like, when you're out there, who's the third guy off the, you know, out the bullpen? Because that matters. It's going to be, you know, a platoon of rushers. And the fact that it's Malachi, which means he's technically the starter when if Isaac or Gary go down. All right. I mean, first round pick, you kind of expect that, right? But also
– Yeah, and James Houston was working off to the side. Like, he wasn't really – participating. Obviously, like I said, Azaraku wasn't there. So then who's up next would be, I guess, you know what? You probably would want to see like Sam Williams in there. He's a more of a veteran guy, but yeah, that wasn't the case. That who was elite with? And then Tyrus Wheat. There's not really like a lot of other, like, I don't know that they're down at DN, to be honest with you, you know?
Maybe on the next show, because we kind of up against it now, but I think we buried a couple leads here, man. Maris Lee found Jaden Blue. I would have. We should definitely kind of talk about them.
Let's talk about the next show, Sky. Yeah. I'm going to write it down right now, Maris and Jaden, because they are getting rave reviews. And then Ryan Fowler came out with a report that he's hearing that Phil Maffa is a guy that's being mentioned in a positive light. So we'll talk about it. Let's get to these supers, and then we'll keep it moving. So, John, that's probably one for you. How is Easy's rehab going?
I mean, from what I see, it looks fine. I don't know that he's really bulked up at all.
Hey, yo, how easy?
Yo, week, what is Fliss doing, man?
Every week.
Then he going to lead a super chat up there.
Fliss, I don't know what's going on, brother.
Fliss.
Is he gone?
I don't know. Man, let me scroll up and see what
let me look at these goddamn there.
But with the easy thing, I will say, they say he'll be ready for the start of training camp. I wouldn't be surprised if at the start of training camp he's doing individuals, but they're not working him in the team. I mean, he's coming off of a hip surgery. I think they're going to be very, very, very precautious with him there. So, yeah, I wouldn't be alarmed if he's not getting a ton of burn right away, but I would expect him to be participating in all the individual stuff when they start camp and be ready for the regular season. But, yeah, I mean, he's moving fine. Like, when I've seen him working off to the side and stuff like that, I wouldn't know that, you know, he had a surgery. So it's nothing like bad. Like, he's not moving slow or with like a limp or anything like that. I will say I really haven't noticed if he's bulked up or not. I don't think he looks that much bigger than he did last year.
Tom said, "Futsal kid wearing a Diggs jersey." No, I was trying to stop my camera. I messed it up. I'm sorry, y'all. I got to get back.
At the end of the show, you.
Hey man, we had a good show tonight, John. We got
there one more. Wait, there's one more now.
I ain't going nowhere. I promise. Never get to see shows live like I used to, but I always watch one of the show. Love to Rolly. Rolly got us $10. Shout out to Bosch. Rolly got us $10.
I got a cash out.
I just want to do one of these shows so bad, like right before like an NFC championship game or right before like the Super Bowl. John, like just what that would be like, how much fun that
would be. It would be so electric.
And honestly, I've been thinking about that a lot because of that Game 3 in New York, where it's like just all those celebrities that were out, all that hype because it's the Knicks and it's been, you know, a while since they've been on that level. And I texted my brother when the game started. I was like, I'm telling you, this is how it would be if the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl. Like, there'd be all these celebrities and all these people jumping on the bandwagon that you're like, yeah, I haven't even seen that person. Why are they doing here? Whatever, like that. Because it's bigger than just that. I mean, it just, you know, and every year that goes by, that doesn't happen, it just gets bigger and bigger for when they do. And then especially now that, you know, they didn't have these type of shows in the 90s when they were rolling. Can you imagine doing these shows right now and it's 1991? You know,
21 like, was I think the last time there was just kind of wide-eyed uber optimism going into that home playoff game against the Niners before the Niners were boogeyman. So we didn't know the Niners were going to be boogeyman to us. The reason why I say 21 and not 23 because we had 2 years of playoff failures in 21 and 22. So it was kind of like a little nervous.
But I mean, 14 and 16 would have been fun doing these shows too. You know, when they went up in Seattle and won in 14, there was a lot of momentum there. And then 16, obviously, with Zeke and Dak and then they're just winning every week.
Vosh are actually doing this. So we felt
that
energy that you're talking about. 21, I don't think I've matched that energy. 22 and 23 didn't do it for me, but 21 was like, yo, man, we might really be able to do this thing.
We were together when they beat Tampa, like when they beat the shit out of Tampa, I was like, oh goodness, they finna do this again and again.
Yeah,
and again. It's lit. Wasn't lit.
It was lit when we beat Tampa, but I was still feeling a little weird about the offense. 21, bro, we broke all the records. Yeah. You had C.D. Lamb, got hurt, but you had C.D. Lamb, said Wilson, Mari Cooper, Zeke, and T.P. We're still at the top of the game. Dak was all pro type play. It was the defense leading the league in sacks and turnovers. It was, bro, I thought we was about to run this thing, and then we ran into the boogeyman.
Yeah.
What you think about that, please?
I'm going to just leave again because the chat cooking me right now.
Hold on. There you go right there.
Think about it. No, they only do that because Vosh say something. No, I was trying. How do you turn
Let's
the?
Don't even see what's going on.
I see Vosh in the background.
You don't know
what. Vosh and his brother Quentin.
You don't know what.
His twin. How do you turn your camera?
You know
off,
what else I think?
There you
real
go.
Quick, that would annoy me though when that happens. Yeah. Is the a lot of those national dudes acting like they knew everything and that they knew everything about the team.
Dan Orlovsky.
You're just like, oh my God, stop this. I don't even have to mention the names. You know who I'm talking about. Where I just, that would be a little nauseating. I'm noticing a little bit with like the Knicks right now, where you're just like, okay, dude, like you were really, you were covering the Knicks. All right. Okay.
I think you're seeing it now. And John, I think this happens every year with Dallas, even when we know like, all right, y'all, we not that good.
Right.
They try to get ahead of it so that they can go back and be like, see, Dallas, I said they're playing. Relax, y'all. Like, y'all do this every year.
They all over the Cowboys right now.
I think a lot of it's fake. I think a lot of it's bullshit. I think there's people trying to confirm priors about a particular player not here anymore. I think it's also the star. So, yes, we've made moves and things like that, but a lot of these people don't feel us for real. They literally make fun of the whole, well, the Cowboys could be good this year mantra. But I think when you see everybody doing it, well, you got to go against the grain.
And they have producers telling them to make sure that we talk about Cowboys because it's the biggest fan base. They're going to get eyeballs on it. If you say something good, bad, or whatever, it's going to get reaction where there's good teams in the NFL you can talk about, and it just ain't going to do any numbers. Like
nobody talks about the Jags. The Jags were 13-4 last year. 14-3. No one says a thing about them. No one cares.
Dang, I didn't even realize they were that good.
It was 7-9-1.
Yeah, I didn't realize the Jags were that good. You're right. That's a good point. I'm gonna tell you this though, Sky. You know what I'm proud of? We did a whole show and didn't say a word about George Pickens. Like we talked about it, but it wasn't. We didn't have to drive home that narrative. That just lets you know when it comes to this. Yeah, man, y'all getting the best stuff over here when it comes to the Cowboys Collective. So, shout out to y'all. Y'all got anything else before we go?
Nah, just jokes. But I always say that to you.
Y'all want to? Let's read them. Come on. Go ahead.
Hey, they're not written down for us. They're in my head about you. I love you, brother. Let's, what is it, 108? Shit, what we doing this again next week? This week later, what we doing?
I did see something in the comments.
What they say?
Don't ever call me this. You will get banned from this show ever. Don't do that.
Oh.
Boy, don't ever do that. You want to talk about a villain arc. I don't know that I've seen a reporter hit a villain arc like this.
Why do you think that is? I'm telling you this in person. He's great. Like he's a great dude, but I do feel like he leans in a little bit to trying to do something.
He's leaning into the bit. I personally think it's entertaining. People hate his guts. I don't get involved, but it's interesting just to see the villain arc he's taking.
Is he the biggest villain
in media, in Cowboys media?
Yeah.
I don't know who else would rival that besides Stephen A.
Amongst y'all, amongst
like the local media, it's not even y'all, close.
It's not even close.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna tell you, it's the questions. Like even today, it's like let me just poke the bear a little bit more. It started with the Stephen stuff and
low key Calvin be on some ish too, but
what question are you talking about? You talking about to Dak about?
I didn't see anything from today. I'm talking about from the press conference. He was like, wait, you sure he's going to be there? Whoever asked that was like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Him and Calvin was pressing Scotty about Pickens.
Yeah. See, we don't have to do that over here, but I get it. That's their thing. I don't knock nobody. I'm just, me personally, I don't want to talk about George Pickens for 2 hours. Like, I don't care, but that's me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care.
Where do you think the percentages on Cowboys fans on that?
That don't care Pickens, about George Pickens.
As of right now,
they're very worried about George Pickens.
Aren't we numb to this?
You are, Scott. They aren't. There's people who really care about it.
I wonder if, like, how many Cowboy fans not even tapped into being Cowboys, like, not into nothing Cowboys right now. Like,
a lot.
Like we have a short percentage of people that want to listen to Cowboy stuff every, you know, day or whatever. But I'm sure most Cowboy fans that only tune in on Sunday, they don't give a shit that George Pickens ain't around right now.
That's bro, true.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Bro, that's my stepdad, bro. I'll go rap to him, and he'll be talking to me. Man, yo, with Ezekiel Elliott or Dak, like, bro, what are you talking about? It's 2026.
Look, man, we up here talking about Zion Childress. Cowboy fans don't know Zion Childress for real.
No.
You don't know Zion.
Toxic Tom does, but the real ones, they tap into
the draft, and then they'll tap back in preseason.
That's real.
And then they'll tune out after the first quarter of the preseason and tap back in game one. Here we go.
Yeah, one team. It's crazy.
All right, I'll let y'all go. Hey, good show. Sky got a rundown. We'll hit Maris and we'll hit Jaden Blue next show. Great show, guys. Hey, run this back on the replay. Make sure you run it on Spotify, all that. John came in hot. Y'all keep stealing my man's stuff. Y'all going to have to deal with us. I'm just saying. Sneaky shooter, John, man. Much love to y'all.
I ain't scared of you, mother.
That's a great drop, Sky. We're going to talk about some music in that.